Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you through the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life. And today you can tap into the source in which to live a wonderful new lifestyle of wealth and abundance that affects all areas of your life. Join Dr. Ann as she enriches us with her holistic wisdom on the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program. And here's Dr. Ann.
Well, hello there, mighty joyful ones, and welcome to the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program on the Law of Attraction radio network, where we ignite the flames of change in your consciousness to live a true wealthy life that includes your career, relationships, recreation, having fun, health and wellness, abundance and finances, and yes, spirituality. This is your Dr. Ann, your Joy of Wealthy Living host. And how are you doing on this beautiful day, wherever you are on this beautiful planet called Earth, whether you are in Arizona, in California, in Texas, Illinois, India, France, England, wherever you may be, I hope that this day is just going great for you, because every day is a perfect day to serve all of humankind with joy and love. And that's what we do here on the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program. We are here to serve. We are here to serve you with bits of information, with bits of joy and love. And speaking of love, a song just popped in my head. All you need is love. Da 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 da. Okay, I know you're saying, quit the singing. But love, all you need is love, written by two wonderful guys from one of my favorite groups, the Beatles, Paul McCartney and John Lennon. So the quote that I have for you today was spoken or written by John Lennon. It says, one thing you can't hide is when you're crippled inside. Think about that quote. One thing you can't hide is when you're crippled inside. What are you trying to hide inside? Your heart, your soul, or your mind? Crippled inside is such a negative word, negative connotation. What is it? Could this represent your anger, your guilt, your envy, your hatred for another person or things that you lust after? Oops, did I say the word lust? Oh my gosh, I did. All of these negative feelings or emotions prevent us from living a life that is full of love, joy, freedom, faith, yes, having faith, and or peace. Instead of having an inside that is crippled with negativity, that is, you know, your anger, because you're angry at somebody who didn't do what you thought they should have done, or your guilt because of something you didn't do or forgot to do, or your envy because you want something that that other person has, or your hatred because you cannot love them in the way that, you can't love yourself. Let your big and brilliant light shine from your inside out. Let your love, joy, and faith shine so bright that these qualities walk ahead of you before your physical self shows up. Then you will live a life that is free and peaceful. Everyone, take a deep breath and release it and get settled into your beautiful space, your peaceful space, your joyful space, where everything is just perfect. Take in another deep breath and just know that right now it's just perfect where you are. Remember, there is only one presence and there is only one power. This is the divine one. This is the divine spirit. This is divine intelligence. And this is God. It is the spark of creation that resides in you and in me. I, Dr. Ann, speak my word for you and myself, knowing that today, in this moment, we are living a divine life that reflects and shines brightly the essence of this divinity. This essence is nothing but pure love, pure joy, pure peace, pure wellness, pure wisdom, and pure abundance. I live with this essence every day and in every way. It is within me. It is around me. I attract nothing but this essence to me. I radiate nothing but this essence to everything and everybody. I live a life of faith, peace, and freedom. I am internally grateful for the life I live and all the blessings that flow to and from me at any given moment of the day. I celebrate, I expect, and I accept all that is mine by divine right, because the divine law is saying yes right here and right now. I release and I let go, knowing it is so right here and now. And so it is. And so it is. Oh boy, I am so grateful. I am so grateful as we breathe in and we release and breathe out those things that are clinging in those crevices of our mind, our overactive mind, when we devy into the negative side, or as Debbie Ford, into the shadow side. Let us release it, let it go, so that all of the good things, all the good that is ours by divine right, enters and take place and grow into wonderful, beautiful ideas and manifestations and demonstrations that we desire to come forth in our lives right here and now. Breathe in and breathe out. Ah, it is so good to be here. Are you smiling? And if not, let me give you something to smile about. You know, over the weekend, we all celebrated Mother's Day, whether our mother is present in the physical essence or has moved on to the non-physical, but we all celebrate it. But for those of us who still have our mothers here on earth, here is something I've found that you should not say to your mother on Mother's Day. This happened to someone and on this Mother's Day, and the whole family got together for a great big dinner, and you know, everybody was, you know how lazy you get after a great big meal, and there are dirty dishes and plates and pots and pans all over the place. And the mother decided, oh, okay, let me go in the kitchen and start to clean up. So one of her sons came to her and said, "Don't bother with those dishes, Mom. Today is Mother's Day. You can always do them tomorrow." not a good thing to say to mothers on that day, because I think they'll be eating off of paper plates for quite a long time. Okay, start buying the paper plates. All right. Just a mention of my book, my newest book, Mastering the Art of Success. And remember, it's a collaborative book with 15 authors that include Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen of the Chicken Soup fame, and Les Brown, a motivational speaker, excellent speaker, and, of course, me. And if you buy the book from me, you will get a 1 hour of introductory coaching, a free Buff It Up program assessment, and Buff Equals Perfection Plus Personal Style. The Buff It Up program is a self-paced personal development program for you to live your best life or to live your wealthy life. And we're looking at all areas of your life. And you also get a free ebook on a guide on how to set up your own online business. Today, it's a special day today. And before we get to the special day, I just wanted to let you know that you can always get that through my website. And my website is myjoyenterprise.com, or you can email me at DrAnn at myjoyenterprise.com. We have a special guest, David Frejal, and we're going to be talking about emotional detox today. Oh, yes, that's going to be very interesting. So let us come back after we do a little station identification, and we'll have our special guest. Here we go.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at LOARadionetwork.com. Hear this incredible show on your smartphone through Stitcher.com, which goes through your car stereos with Ford Sync or any auto dashboard that has the internet. Listen to our 24/7 broadcast with our mobile app as well, or just listen through an MP3 player or computer. Remember, LOARadionetwork.com, heard in over 120 countries, is the radio station for your well-being.
Hey, Dr. Ann, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, David. How are you?
I'm real good.
Okay, we are live. So let me tell the audience a little bit about you. And you are a sixth generational territorial family. And that's on your mom's side. And he has a history of Jerome and Superior. Those are two cities in Arizona. If my listening audience do not know about Jerome is beautiful. It's right outside of Sedona, and between Sedona and Prescott. And it's a beautiful town that is on the mountain edge, and it winds back and forward. And sometimes when you're driving there, you look like you're going to fall off the edge into the valley there, but, you know, not necessarily. And he speaks of healing and transformation that has occurred in his life for over the past 26 years. He has spoken about the topic emotional detox, which we'll learn more about in a few minutes. He has shared this in many different settings across Arizona and the world. He works with clinicians in different healthcare agencies in Arizona. His path has led him to be a part of the great transformation that's occurring on this planet, starting from within himself. And that's the perfect place to start. Any type of transformation is within oneself. So, David, So tell us a little bit more about your history in Arizona. Tell us about Jerome and Superior for our listening audience.
Well, like I said, my grandfather worked in the mines in Jerome. And Jerome was a ghost town. Now it's kind of an artist haven. And Superior is another mining town just outside of Phoenix where a lot of my family and my mom and both my dad's side are. So that's part of it. We also have history in the swimming pool deck industry here in the valley and stuff. But, my story is based on what transformation I've started 26 years ago and started an idea related to emotional detox. And I didn't know if it was because of if I was trying to rationalize what I thought could be my emotional breakdown or if there was a detox that related to emotions, just like it was a chemical detox when it related to chemicals. So that's mm-hmm. kind of how everything kind of got started a long, long time ago.
Okay. Well, I just want to ask you just another question here. When you said you are a six-generational territorial family, what territory are you talking? Are you talking about the Crips and the Bloods or what? What are you talking about when you talk about
territory? Being part of a territorial family means that we were here before Arizona was a state.
Okay.
So it has nothing to do with the Crips or Bloods. Thank God.
Thank God, huh? It's
yeah,
not that
no.
kind of territory. You can't cross this line.
No, okay. No. That brings us into a whole bunch of other stuff that we can't get into today.
Okay. All right. So is that, there are people all around the world who are listening to this program, and they may not. Is that a tribal base that you're talking about?
My dad was from was Hispanic. He's from Mexico. My grandfather, my mom's side, was from Mexico. My mom's side of the family was all born here around the Phoenix area, and grew up in the mining towns in Superior here in Phoenix. And my dad went from Jerome to Superior in the 30s, and that's where he met my mom. And we had a lot of family that came from the mining industry there. So,
okay.
we've got a lot of history with that. Basically, I'm Hispanic, but there's another aspect of that that I talk about in my talk related to different tribes and different separations of people and everything like that. If we have time, mm-hmm. we'll get into that a little bit later.
Okay. All right. And we'll probably touch up on that because I know that with this type of program, with it being on the internet, it attracts many, many different nationalities and ethnicities of people who are listening to this this talk. So, it will be good, to touch up on that, and we'll see how that conversation plays out during this hour here. And so you talk about your healing path that it started 26 years ago. So what happened 26 years ago, or let's say 27 years ago? What was going on in your life 27 years ago?
Yeah, well, a lot of where I started from is I walked into a treatment center with an addiction issue. And realized while I was in that that treatment center that this really didn't have too much to do with drugs or alcohol or some of the symptoms of what we call addiction. And so 26 years ago, I walked into a treatment center that really ended up turning into a university, and it was a university with one subject, and the most important subject there is on this planet was me and my perception of me. So that's how it kind of started. Now, I wish I could say at that time that's the awareness I got. It took many, many years sometimes to try to put all the pieces together, to put the puzzle pieces together as to that's what was going on. The whole concept behind emotional detox was I wasn't quite sure if I was rationalizing my mental and emotional illness, what it looked like, or if it was literally just a purging of energy that I didn't know what to define it as. So it kind of started one of the first nights I was there. They had a speaker come in who talked to us from the outside, and I'm not quite sure if he actually said this, but this is what I heard. He said, "You're not the people that you are now that you were when you were using, and you're not the people now that you're capable of being." And I can only assume that was supposed to be a real warm and fuzzy feeling, but I literally had this electrical chemical reaction run through my body, and I realized I had absolutely no idea who I was, and used for 20 years to not know who I was. I was 33 years old when I walked into that treatment center, and that's kind of like that was the beginning. But I didn't know it was the beginning because I've had lots and lots of beginnings. But what I realized real quick is that this really didn't have too much to do with drugs or alcohol. And so I started looking up words, and one of the first words I looked up was sarcasm, and we'll get back to that later. And the other one was addict. And I love the definitions. The one definition that I heard was giving oneself up to a powerful habit, and usually in a passive voice. And being or becoming habitual. So I realized that it wasn't something I did. My identity was wrapped up into it. So what I started to realize that there was lots of different components to that, and I started talking at a treatment center fairly early on, maybe 3 years in. There was quite a bit distance out of town, and as I was going to different spiritual centers, I realized that there was a kind of a physics to this thing. And I started realizing that the belief system and thought processes and emotions were all mixed up all together in this. And so I came up with the idea, if there was a chemical detox, well, could there not be an emotional detox?
And
I'm sorry, go ahead, Deb.
No. I was just saying, absolutely, if there is a chemical detox, you know, detoxing the body, whether it is because of alcohol or some other type of substance that we take because we want to feel better or because we have overate, because I was just listening to Wayne Dyer the other day. He's on a 10-day detox. And you would think that Wayne Dyer would not need to detox because we look at him as a guru, but he's doing a physical detox to eliminate the toxins that have accumulated in his physical body. But here you're talking about detoxing from our emotional state.
Right. And this is the way I started to break it down once I had gone to a spiritual center that was talking about different concepts. And here's how I broke it down. Is it a repetitive thought creates a belief based in perception that is supported by behavior. Then there's an emotional attachment to all that. And the most powerful aspect of that concept is the self-identity that we create with that all together, whether we're conscious of it or not. And so that one definition of being or becoming habitual, it's my beingness. It wasn't the things I did, it was an identity that was wrapped up into that. And to give myself away, I realized that self was a four-letter word to my divinity, to my source, to God. And so what I was literally doing is giving myself away and then creating an identity around that and having an emotional attachment to it. So as I started to let go of who I thought I was, I was literally dying and grieving the loss and grieving and starting to have emotions that I don't believe a lot of us used it to feel better. I think a lot of us used to just not feel at all.
So in other words, if you're not feeling anything, you are in a catastatic state or you're asleep. You're not conscious.
Exactly. You're in a state of hypnosis, and we're all in states of hypnosis, you know. But are we going to take control of that hypnosis and guide us into away from dis-ease and into healing? And there's a lot of responsibility to that, you know, because now there's nobody to blame. There's nobody at fault. Now I'm responsible.
You mean to say that, again, we have to take responsibility for our lives? Is that correct?
Well, you don't have to, but if you want to recreate something different than what you've been recreating, been creating, then, yeah, you have to take responsibility for that. My take on that is this. If there's a reason why all this happened, all the different traumas that I grew up with, my perception of traumas that I grew up with, all the different belief systems that I took on, and many of them I'm questioning now if they were even my belief systems, if they're just taken on by the source of environment that I was in. If it's a reason, I can change that, and that makes me powerful. But if it's an excuse, then I'm a victim forever until I make a decision to realize that I can change not only my history, but I can change my present moment, and I can change my future. I said, I can actually literally change my past, okay? So with different things that I've read and different things that I've been involved with and different talks that I've had, and I love doing this because I learn more about myself when I do these talks. And, I'm also the teacher as well as the student, you know, so I'm investigating different things that put all the pieces of the puzzle together. Wayne Dyer said something years and years and years ago that I really liked a lot, and he said that laws don't change, rules don't change, societies, wars don't change societies, a shift in the consciousness of the people, and that's what I'm involved with. I'm a shift of the consciousness of the people, but I am the only source of change that I can make. So to me, with my transformation, I'm literally changing the universe by changing my perception, my views, and releasing the emotional attachments to who I thought I was. So as I mentioned in the introduction, I'm talking to a lot of healthcare agencies to their people who are helping the people that need help.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I'm saying is that to be a very good healer, you need to heal yourself. And so that's the healing circle that I have involved with in my home here. The different therapists and different things as they did their own work changed from being therapists and psychotherapists and trainers to healers. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just repeating what you said, to healers from one phase to another, from the psychotherapist to a healer.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And one of the aspects of that is that when we start to change the energy that we produce to a healing energy, then it doesn't matter what we say. We're radiating that type of energy. The talk years ago when I first started doing this was called "It's a Good Day to Die: A Journey Through Emotional Detox." And I got into the healthcare industry. Obviously, they're doing a lot of suicide prevention work, so they didn't think that was a very good, or you know, it was a good title, but maybe not appropriate for there.
Right.
So we had to think about a different name for the talk, and I think the talk is actually great. It's called "Emotional Detox: Redefining Self."
Oh, wow. So
as I'm redefining self, I'm redefining everything I thought I knew was true, related to family, related to relationships, related to what love is, related to everything, and most important, related to who I thought I was, which wasn't very accurate if I was trying to kill it.
Let me just break in for a moment,
okay,
because
sure.
I know that there might be some people out there listening who may want to call in, and our telephone number is 646-716-7566. 646-716-6230. 646-716-6230. So if you want to call in and ask David any questions about what he has said or what he's going to say, please feel free to call in. Again, our number is 646-716-6230. So, David, it seems like this was like a massive change in your life. And so you go from this person that we may have labeled an addict to a healer, an addict to a healer. And you're helping people, assisting people who are on similar paths like you have traveled, not necessarily the same, but may have had similar experiences as you have had. So what kind of modalities would you use, or how would you explain to them about detoxing emotionally?
Well, you know, the different modalities is kind of a difficult concept because sometimes people start looking for just that one modality that's going to do it. Mm-hmm. I've done all kinds of different things, from very, very conservative to completely weird things, you know. And I gained a little bit from each one of them that I did, and sometimes I was doing them pretty close to the same time, which was had been suggested to me at different times not to. But, you know, that's just the way I roll. I wanted to know, when I walked into treatment 26 years ago, I wanted to know what was going on, and I wanted to know now. And so I pushed forward with lots of different modalities. The biggest thing, and it's just kind of increments with different things. Sometimes I've tried things, and what I found out, that's not for me. But that doesn't mean that somewhere down the line, it might again. You know, so right. I've done all kinds of different things the biggest thing that I've done, Dr. Ann, is yes. I surrounded myself with people that would support me on my journey.
That's important,
right,
to have that support group that are like-minded, that you have the same mindset. That is so important.
And I know that sounds real scary or something like that, or mm-hmm. it isn't, because we've always been doing that. We've always mm-hmm. surrounded ourselves with like-minded people. People
yes.
who use, hang out with people who use, you know. People mm-hmm. who gripe mm-hmm. and bitch and moan about stuff, they usually hang out with people that do the same thing. You know, so it's we're always attracting a society that supports us. So as I've incrementally done my own healing, the associations that I've had have changed. You know, the people that I've had.
Isn't that what the law of attraction is all about? You
Absolutely.
Know, what you put out, is
Absolutely.
That what's going to be returned to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we've always
and as your
been doing
it. Yeah, and it's all about what level your vibration, where you are vibrating. And
right.
the higher you get, you know, the different types of people that you're going to draw into your circle of support.
I guess one way of putting it for me is to surround myself to immerse myself in the energies of people that I like a lot, that have something for me. Because that's what I did my whole life. You know, when I went
yes.
to grade school, a lot of my grade school supposed friends at the time were really nothing more than extensions of my family, because that's what I was familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
As I got older and the pain got more intense, for whatever reasons there were for me, and I started using, that was the modality of people that I hung out with. And when I went into treatment and I started to realize that I didn't know who I was and didn't want to know, I used for 20 years not to know who I was. I was 33 years old. I used for 20 some odd years not to even remember what happened the first 12 or 13 years.
Oh, my.
Because of what had occurred. So the law of attraction always happens. It's been happening our whole life. It's just making a shift from unfortunately having to label it, do I choose dis-ease or do I choose healing? And if I choose healing, do I choose to do the emotional detox? Do I choose to go through the pain of healing? That's what it's about. Is to allow myself to go through it as opposed to avoid it, to use over it, to make it go away, but to go through it. And that takes a lot of responsibility and accountability, because when you get to that stage, there's nobody to blame and there's nobody at fault. We are all co-creators, and we've created what we've created up to this moment. Now we can choose to recreate something different. But are we wanting to let go of that identity that we created and the emotional attachment to that identity that no longer serves us? I think that's where the key is.
And who are you today?
I'm sorry?
Who are you today? Who are you today?
I can't answer that, because 15 minutes from now that might be different. You know, I'm closer to my source. I'm closer to the truth of who I really am, and I'm still working on stuff. So I don't even want to label myself as to tell anybody who I am, because that's my own perception. The perception that somebody else has of me, of who I am, might be totally different.
Mm.
You know, so I just here's what I'd like, and I heard this years and years and years ago. I was deeply, deeply moved by it. Here's what I wanted to say years ago, and I couldn't say it because emotionally I would just thought I was breaking down. I want to just say I am.
Mm.
That's it. That's good enough. I am.
And you know, that is one of the most powerful statements that anyone can express. And we have to be very careful when we're using those two little words. One syllable, I am. Because when you really look at it spiritually, metaphysically, or religiously, I am is God.
Right.
You know, I am. And if you're saying that, that's all that you can say. You know what? Bless your heart. Good. Because you have come into a realization of who you truly are.
Right. I'm getting there. You know, am I there? I don't know. I know that I'm closer than I've ever been. I just mentioned to my healing circle just the other day, you know, people would ask me what I wanted. What was I looking for? What was my goal in recovery or my healing? And I never had it up. Any kind of a money or bigger house or bigger cars or really seriously, all I've ever wanted is I wanted to feel okay inside my own skin.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get to a point to start to like me and maybe work myself up to love. And I was able to say this with a different type of emotion. I'm getting there. I've never been more calm. I've never been more at peace. And that's something else I wanted. I wanted to be able to say the words and have an emotional experience to them rather than just saying the words.
Mm.
You know, I wanted to have a tactile experience. And last week when I was able to say, I'm at peace, I feel calm. There was a different type of emotional connection to that honored that for the amount of stuff that I've done to get to this point. And all the other stuff, I'm hoping if there's a lot of stuff out there, that'll come. If it doesn't, I still win because I've got me connected not only with my humanity, but to my divinity. You know, I didn't realize I was searching so hard for my divinity. I was searching so hard for God, but I hated me. I hated and disliked me. Well, you can't have them both.
And that's a number one issue with a lot of people when they are searching outside of themselves for something, whatever that something is, that next feeling of euphoria or highness. because they're looking for that outside substance when you're looking for yourself. You know, the old song, I'm looking for love in all the wrong places. Yeah.
Right.
When love begins with oneself, when you begin to love oneself, then you can express love to other people. When you have the love of your higher spirit, of your higher God, and you are loving both ways, yourself and God, then there's no way that you can't love other people.
Right.
You know, the greatest commandment of all is to love thyself. You know, you love
mm-hmm.
thyself. And if we can't love ourselves for whatever the reason, because you have took the wrong turn down the road of your life and you beat yourself up.
Right,
and
right. And
that
was one of my drugs of choices, was to beat myself up and be harsh with
mm-hmm.
myself. And I heard it many, many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
People would say, man, you sure are hard on yourself. And, yeah, okay, I get that. And then somebody says, well, you have a lot of self-loathing. And, you know, that kind of made sense. But I was working with one of my teachers that was doing some energy body work, and I said something. I asked her a question, why is it so hard for me to love myself?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, David, loving yourself is not your issue. Learning how to stop hating yourself is your issue. And all of a sudden, I got it. You know, I got it. And, you know, so... And here's where I want to be able to touch somebody out there who had no concept of what love was, or what emotion was. I didn't know. I couldn't describe an emotion. And what I realized in the beginning is I had like toxic levels of all the true emotions that you have. I didn't experience loneliness. I experienced abandonment, but I labeled it loneliness. I didn't experience humility. I experienced shame, but I labeled it differently. So I'm having to redefine. I didn't experience anger. Anger is a very powerful, powerful energy. My emotional connection to that term was actually rage. You know, I was a tantrum-throwing little kid. Well, there's a reason for that. It wasn't just because I was a bad person. I was expressing the energy that was resonating in my home. And that was the only way I knew how to deal with it, you know?
Yes.
So I didn't know what a lot of these words were. I didn't understand. You know, love to me was about sex. And what I realized in doing these talks and being a part of this expansion of my healing is that I thought a relationship, a loving relationship, and if I put both my hands out in front of me and I interlock my fingers and
mm-hmm.
I say it's two half people trying to make a whole. And then it wasn't so long, not too long ago, when you interlace your fingers like that, that's enmeshment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Enmeshment is unhealthy relationship. And being half a person and half a person and trying to complete yourself with another, that's codependency. So
mm-hmm.
what I realized that love is actually myself resonating an energy of expanded healing at whatever level that is, and having somebody else at radiating at whatever energy of love with that, and overlapping that energy.
Mm.
That's a relationship to me now.
Ah.
See? So I had to redefine everything I thought I knew. And I had to redefine what addiction was. And I know we're getting close to the end of time here. So when I'm talking about addiction, I'm talking about anything outside the self to make it feel better or make it numb. So what I realized is one of the most destructive and one of the most powerful drugs there is racism. Not,
wow.
not only the racism between races, but the racism within races. And so there was a term that I heard years and years ago, and I was afraid to use it, and you know, but I'm getting more and more comfortable with it, and it lends
okay.
it to what you know Wayne Dyer, is the human tribe. Yeah, I'm a member of the human tribe of the universal nation, and I'm very more comfortable with that than I've ever been before. But we're all part of the same organism, you know?
Okay, say that once again, because that is so great. What kind of tribe?
I'm Hispanic, but a lot of people think I'm Native American. So they come
okay.
up to me and ask me, you know, what tribe are you from? So my response to that is I'm from the human tribe of the universal nation. Because in that one talk with years and years, over 20 years ago, Wayne Dyer was talking about, you know, well, they asked Wayne Dyer, what are you? Are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? Are you this or that? And he says, you know what? I'm in a place in my life where I don't want to fraction myself off and make be a part of a part, a different part of something else by labeling myself. So I want to be part of the whole. And you could see how he's advanced towards that.
Yes.
Well, that's what I want to do, and I believe I'm an opener. I want to get people who were like me, who didn't have a clue about any of this stuff. I felt like the most lost person in the world when it came to emotion and thought and belief system and stuff. And it's been a very painful concept for me. And most of it was painful because I wasn't ready to let go of the identity that I created.
Mm-hmm.
And that emotional attachment to that identity. But the more grieving, the more deaths that I've occurred with that unhealthy, unwanted self in order to be closer to the spirit, everything's changed around me. And more important, everything's changed within me.
And that's the important thing. In order for your outside to change, you have to change from within. And that is the most important, one of the most important lessons that you have to get across to other people is to know that if you want change to happen, you have to make it happen from within yourself. And
Absolutely.
Then, and you are a prime example of going through an internal change in order to have the external change as well.
Absolutely. And what I didn't realize over this last 20 years is that I was getting closer to my goal or my desire to just feel okay inside my skin. You know, 18 years out of the 26 years that I was involved in this, I was profoundly mentally ill. I was emotionally broken. And it took a long time to realize that this that was coming out of me were the toxins that were creating disease within me that I was using all kinds of outside sources to make it go away.
Yeah.
You know? And it's tough. It's tough in this market, you know, because they market everything to you that you're somehow flawed and defective and you need this car, you need this truck, you need this type of body, you need all these things that'll be better, you know. And it's all just crap. It's just ridiculous.
So the media plays an important part in if you already have a quote unquote, for better lack of a better term right now, a so-called addictive personality.
Mm-hmm.
The media plays upon that addiction. So we look at the advertisements, as you say. You want to have speed, and speed means a faster car, and not necessarily, well, maybe in a way, speed, the drug speed, but it also tells you that if you want to look good, you have to go call this particular doctor to nip and tuck, and then you'll get rid of the flab and things like that. So it's the media that mirrors our so-called society.
Well, another component, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
go ahead.
When you're watching the television, you're actually in a state of hypnosis there. You know, and so you're vulnerable to a lot of the suggestions that are being done there. There's people that are spending tons and tons of money on how to get into your head, you know. And so,
subliminal suggestion.
Yeah, just, you know, and then you said if you're primed for that, then it just leads right into it, you know. So it's a very intriguing. This an emotional detox redefining self can go into all kinds of different areas. You know, one of them was self-love. The other one is, what is a relationship? Well, you know, what is a father? What is a husband? What is a man? What is a woman? You know, what are all these different aspects that we think we know the answers to, and we may not. They may be inaccurate, you know. I had a friend of mine years and years ago who had some major, major issues with his family, a lot of sexual abuse issues, a lot of stuff, and he made a comment. He said he hated God, you know, for all the stuff that was happening to him. And I said, okay, well, let's look at that. I said, first of all, with all the stuff that you've studied and learned about so far, wouldn't you say that the way that you defined yourself was incorrect? And he said, yeah. I said, what about relationship, you know, the relationship with your wife? Now that you know what you know, which is a little bit more advanced, wouldn't you say that that was based on illusion? He said, yeah. Okay, well, what about your family of origin, the illusion that you created around your family of origin? Do you think that that was something that was based in some kind of dysfunctional thinking? And he said, yeah. I said, well, isn't there a possibility that you would have that same thing with God? Why would all these other things be incorrect, but your perception of God is correct? You know, to just consider that as a possibility. And so when I would do my talks, and when I do my talks, is, you know, everybody wants to talk about the law of attraction and you know, creating from imagination, which is beautiful. But for people like me, that doesn't make any sense. So what I want to do is I want to talk to people about consideration. Consider the fact that you're not broken, you're not flawed, you're not defective, but maybe your belief system is, and your perception is based on that belief system and the identity that you created with that. And if that's the case, and you don't like it, you can change it.
David, tell me this. The people that you work with currently, where do you find them? Do you stand out there with a board on the corner? Or is there a place that you work with? Or
well, most of my
how
stuff
do you
is,
get your, the people
yeah,
you
most
work
of my
with?
Stuff right now is the tithing. Okay, I'm volunteering to go to different places. One of the guys that was part of my healing circle was involved in a healthcare agency here, and he asked me, would you like to do some classes or be a trainer? And I said, yes. So over a year, I've been doing that, and now the different people from different agencies have come in and heard, and now I'm starting to speak out in different elements like that. So, you know, I'm available to talk to who would like to listen and are ready to transform, you know. And if they're not ready to transform, that's okay too, you know. I'm not attached to anybody's outcome, only my own. And the most important person that's out there is listening to this. The only person that's more important than that is me. And I can't change anything if I don't change me. And that's my goal. That's what I'm doing. And I've been real diligent at it, and it's been very painful at times, but the rewards have been great. To let go of the identity that no longer serves. Today is a good day to die.
Wow. That's powerful. That is powerful. So do you have any plans in the near future to write a book or have tapes and things like that available for other people who cannot get to some of your classes or sessions or talks?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of that stuff in order right now. You know, I have actually just some little clips that we did here on YouTube. If you tap in YouTube and put in Emotional Detox and my name, David Fraijo, David Fraijo, it'll bring up the links for what I consider Emotional Detox, my perception of Emotional Detox. And there's about 8 or 10 clips in there. And then one of my friends is helping me put an e-book together, and he's been in Seattle, and he's here who got me involved in a healthcare agency here. He's gone to Seattle and is on his way back. And so there's a possibility we might be doing some trainings together. I think there's possibilities of me doing a whole bunch of stuff real soon related to this.
Okay. So the bottom line is this for you, David, is that you have come to a place in your life where you have realized that you are a healer. That you are a healer and you are here to serve mankind, womankind, humankind, because we're all part of the same human tribe. You're here to serve. You're here to help those who perceive themselves as broken or misfit or whatever, to begin the process of loving themselves, to in order to love themselves, they have to get rid of the self-hatred and things like that. So you're here to help. Pardon me?
Yeah, and I'm here to help people go through the discomfort of healing. Okay? Anybody that comes up to me and says that it's all warm and fuzzy, I don't trust them. Okay? And that's just my perception because of what I've gone through. But the bottom line is I want to be an opener. I want to be a person who starts the process so people can understand what Wayne Dyer or Deepak Chopra or whatever the wonderful things that Oprah Winfrey's doing on her network and stuff, you know?
Yes.
To gain that. But I got to clarify this. I am literally changing the universe because I'm concentrating on one cell of this whole organism, and that's me. I can't heal anybody. My perception of a healer is that I do my own work. I radiate that energy that affects people or not, you know? But sometimes when you say you're a healer, then everybody wants to come up to you and say, well, heal me, heal me, heal me. Well, that's your responsibility. You know, I can be a guide to maybe talk to you about how maybe your thought processes are incorrect and the words that you're using, and that's a whole different subject right there. The power of the spoken word, you know, to be mindful of not only what you're thinking but what you're saying, because you're creating from that.
Yes. Yes.
A lot of people don't realize that. So this has all kinds of different aspects that it can go in, and unfortunately, a lot of people think it's related to drug addiction and drug alcohol addiction. It has very, very little to do that, because my idea is that everybody on this planet is here to deal with addiction.
Yes. So if you were going to relate what you're doing to wealthy living, what would be the connection? How would you connect what you're doing to wealthy living?
You know, that would depend a lot on whoever's defining wealthy, you know. Me finding my own soul, my embracing my divinity is being wealthy.
Yes.
Everything else I'm hearing will come. But if I focus on that stuff, then I'm not focused on my humanity and my divinity. So I don't know. It's kind of a difficult concept to define for someone else. You know,
for someone else.
I can describe it for myself, and that if somebody relates to that, that's fine. If they don't, that's fine too.
Yes.
So, but I know that, you know, there's plenty of people with tons of money that want to stick a gun in their mouth. There's plenty of people that do that already. So it's obviously that kind of wealth is not always the answer.
No, it's not. It's not always about the money. It's not,
as
some people might say, it's not all about the Benjamin.
No, and it's not, you know, it's not about the stuff. I mean, people are addicted
not
to
about
stuff,
the stuff
too. So
absolutely.
It's me being accountable and responsible for doing my own healing and resonating that healing and be less judgmental, less pissed off about everything out there. Because that's a substance, too.
Yes. Yes.
So I've never been more calm. I've never been more at more peace. And if there's more of this coming, I like it a lot.
Well, David, believe it or not, we've been having so much fun that, you know what the saying goes, time flies when you're having so much fun. And I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the Joy Wealthy Living radio program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And who knows, maybe I'll be doing a hosting of this thing so somewhere down the line.
Well, you just never know what's going to happen.
You never know.
But
I'm definitely going to be out there.
Yes, you are. And it was great talking to you, and I'm quite sure everybody had a wonderful time listening to you. Everybody, it's time for us to say bye, but tune in next week again for Joy of Wealthy Living. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into the Joy of Wealthy Living radio program with Dr. Ann Williamson. If you'd like to contact Dr. Ann, go to her website, www.myjoyenterprise.com, or email her at drann@myjoyenterprise.com. We'll see you back here next week.